Roll call.
Yeah, roll call.
Okay, roll call. Adriana Castaneda.
Here.
Robert Mark.
Here.
Phil Collins. Hank Lamb. Nancy Sayabar Narutomi.
Here.
Maria Elena Castellanos. The position of Colleen O'Brien is not considered vacant. Mike Lewis. Joseph Kay. George Ryder. Tony Cox. Jessica Apollinar. Teresa Allen. Dwayne Lark.
Present.
Jim Boyd. Jim Krafka. Susie Moreno. Darrell Robbins. Alanalan Apurim.
Presente.
Susan Radwan.
Here.
Richard Uzel. Venetia Patel. Joseph Davis. I am here. Liana Lopez. And ex officio member Dwayne Bradley. Do we have any excused absences?
Well, Mr. Secretary, and to the body, because of this meeting being scheduled and rescheduled and rescheduled, I think we should suspend the rules even when we get into session next May. To suspend the rules, because anybody could have say that they didn't know or they were confused about whether it was a meeting this Saturday, what have you. So let's not go there on this meeting.
Trying to excuse all absences.
The PMB routinely has a motion made to excuse all absences. And for what you just said, I think that would be an appropriate thing for us to pass forward to the body when it gets a quorum.
To there.
Despite all the divisiveness on the PNB, they don't get into this, let's just get strikes against the people who we don't agree with, which is what goes on in this body. But for this instance, I think it would be appropriate for us to pass on to the entire LSB that we just excuse all the absences.
But eight people asked to be excused. Others did not.
And the others didn't. So I'm just saying this meeting, because it's been some confusion, Nancy. I'm the chair. And the reason I'm giving you this explanation is because there were some people who had an issue with me calling this meeting. But as chair, I'm charged with us conducting business. And we can't conduct business if we don't meet. If people choose because they have high priorities on a called meeting to try to make up for a circumstance that the chair had no control of to have the standing meeting, so I've done everything and no one can accuse me of not doing everything I can to maintain my fiduciary responsibility of having a meeting every month. So we've had a meeting, they didn't show up, but I don't believe we ought to hold that against people. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I would take exception to the comment that there's any hostile intent in counting people absent. There isn't any, it's just part of our bylaws and we're required to function under them. However, I think it would be appropriate for us to, in this particular case of exceptional circumstances, to say that if anyone does have an unexcused absence in this particular case, that we would suspend the rules to have it not count towards purposes of application of that rule. That way, if somebody had two absences before it and they have an absence after it, that's still three consecutive unexcused absences. On the other hand, if someone just by magic didn't hear today, well, let's give everybody an unexcused absence, and now everybody gets to reset that rule. This today should not apply to our normal meetings.
Well, it won't because it's non-quorum.
Well, so far.
It's always counting even the non-quorum.
You do report, but what we should not do
absence? No,
is, yeah. As Robert indicated, no, this is an informal discussion we're having right now. But when we get into session next May, this May, that we have a motion to suspend the rules and do not count the absence against the rule. Yes, ma'am.
I believe that will be, I agree with all what everybody said, but I think that will be good for the recording to mention the members that took the time to write and ask for an excuse absence.
Okay.
Because at least we are separating the ones that really respect the rest of the members and the ones that don't. For whatever reason.
We'll
I don't
see.
Want to go into the reasoning.
Yeah. I take issue to that, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But to the extent that I'm ruled not having been at the first meeting of the Finance Committee when I made it very clear that any meeting called at the station, because a member has been improperly, in my opinion, and I've talked to Dwayne with that personally, banned. I'm banned. So I didn't take issue with it. because I didn't ask for an excused absence, and I accept that fact. But I did make it very clear why my absence, and should you, Finance Committee, anybody else, have a meeting at the station, I'm not going to attend. But having said that, I'm glad we're all in agreement about moving forward on how we're going to deal with these absences. So now let's get, if we can, to just a little substance.
Can we mention the people that asked for excuses?
Well, I thought you was asking him to do it in the official record of his reporting of this meeting.
Well, he's for the recording.
He can highlight them.
Okay.
In terms of the stating who showed up.
Right.
Okay, well, she wants you to speak it into
I don't have that
recording.
Vinicia Patel.
All right, let me get Vinicia Patel. George Ryder.
Hank Lamb.
Joseph
Cage. Tony Cox.
Okay, I got him.
And Mike Lewis. I don't know if anybody...
Not Richard Urzel.
Did Mike ask? Lewis.
Richard Urzel didn't
Richard asked for
one for the last meeting. Uh-huh. For one on the 19th. I know he did that.
That
there
is the one that
I think there was an email from Richard.
We'll check the record.
George,
I can't get internet
Vinicia,
in here.
Vinicia, George, Hank, Joseph K.
Seemed like to me it was eight.
Have,
and all
but there was. There was.
Six.
Yeah, but they have six.
I think, didn't Darrell Robinson in another excuse?
No,
yes,
I haven't.
No. Earlier she did.
She did?
She did?
I know she didn't last meeting.
No,
but
she did for last Saturday.
Yeah,
last Saturday. Before, no, right. For this one.
As did Teresa.
So that's why I'm arguing
Teresa is
that
the
we
same.
Don't allow this to get right. So is convoluted that we're only doing this for a record
right.
Of
right.
Who's asked for a, right. An excused absence. But we're not going to use these absences
no.
To
obviously.
Count against
it seems
people.
Like a request.
We will agree with you.
I have a request from Richard Uzel right here.
I thought so.
Okay, Richard.
Okay.
I just got confused to stop looking at some point.
Robert, didn't you say you were personally aware of Teresa
Allen?
Teresa Allen specifically asked for an excused absence
okay.
For last week.
For last
week.
And then
week. Went out of town.
Right.
And she doesn't use this technology. She doesn't check her email when she's out of town, so she wouldn't know.
So she would have asked for an excused absence.
Do you want to do so on her behalf or something?
You can
well,
ask
we,
for it on
like
her
we
behalf.
Said, I mean,
considering
well,
you
I certainly
know the situation.
Think it would be appropriate to. Because you know, she knew the meeting was last week, mm-hmm. And she asked for an excused absence.
Well, I think you're well within your rights to ask, since considering the circumstances.
He seems moved to
I
me.
I think you should.
You want see, Jim Kravka sent an email saying he works on Saturdays.
Did you name him Kravka? No,
Jim Kravka has not been mentioned.
He seems moved to me if you're excusing everyone anyway.
But the,
because.
The,
if it's not going to count against those who did not,
but
do
the member
excused.
Requested that we record exactly. Individuals who asked, although it won't harm those who didn't, but because of the protocol of the person asking, she wanted that noted.
And also, you're limited to how many times you could have an excused absence. Of those who did ask for an excused absence, that shouldn't count either.
There is not
no,
currently
no,
a limit on how many times.
There's no counting. There's a noting of who asked for an excused absence. You understand? That we're just noting who asked. We're not noting who didn't ask, but we're noting who asked.
This is why the wisdom of the current majority on the PMB seems appropriate, that we should just make a motion that everybody who isn't here be excused.
Well,
I think we've gotten that.
No conflict with the bylaws?
Well, no necessarily. I mean, I remember more than once.
You don't speak out when they do it. If you're opposed
no,
to it, you should speak out when they do it.
Robert, because I do it when I think that the people didn't ask us before or ask us before. I speak when I think that it's needful. If I know that I saw the email before, why I will, you know, say something different?
I think it's because they don't want to waste time having these kinds of discussions myself.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense to me.
That's why I remain silent when they ask, is anybody opposed? Because it makes sense, because I've been to too many of these conversations.
Yeah.
This chair has not been successful in getting a motion out of Governance Committee on the table to be considered that would, to me, have
Who's
solved
having?
Some of this problem. That is limiting us. Ourselves to giving three excused absences a year.
Mr. Chair, we have that motion and it's ready.
I've never been able to drive it from the agenda because of other issues we've got on the agenda, which is never going to get to it. And I take responsibility for it, even though it's y'all's fault.
No.
I think you may vote it up or down, but at least like in Congress, like you say, give Loretta Lynch at least a vote up and down. So that's what I just been trying to get to. But my God, man, now we're gonna use May on these PNB motions y'all got before us. That's what we're gonna use the meeting of May arguing about.
Well, you know what? You know what?
What?
That need to be vote first for the PNB. If the PNB doesn't vote on, doesn't go.
Oh, I thought they were coming up May 7th, though. I thought y'all were coming up to vote on it on May 7th. That comes to us on May.
If we go there, and we vote on those, and those pass, need to first pass there, and then if not.
Okay, so it has to pass to the PNB first, then these five stations have to, three out of five has to.
And then they want to stuff it down our throat without consideration. That's why I think it ought to be discussed now. Mr. PNB, y'all passed two motions to reduce the number of representatives. I mean, y'all haven't passed it. Y'all considered it.
It's been filed to be put for a vote of the PNB.
On May 7th.
That's what I'm saying.
And then the vote of the LSP.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm saying on May 7th, y'all supposed to vote.
But in case if
I
we
wasn't got, aware that was on the agenda for May 7th.
That have to that have to happen.
60 days, then that's right.
Yeah. But till that happen, I mean, we don't have.
Right.
And after
that
we have 60 days.
But my problem is, that's what happens in a lot of bodies, and they get upset because while you're holding on to the information, and in fact, I sent it out on the email trail when it was sent to me. I don't know if the members read it and keep up with it, but what in effect you're saying is, okay, if we don't vote for it, it's of no consequence. But if you vote for it, then we've got 6 days
60.
To make a determined
60
days 60, after y'all 60. Vote for it. So that gives us two meetings. Okay, that's fine. That's a lot better than what I thought. Because if it does pass, I think it's going to be very contentious at this table.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why it's never won at this table before.
But
there are so many things that I know the outcome of the vote that I don't
know. And I think that we'll not win in the country.
Because we're a democratic process. That's why we have to debate.
Right.
We got to have the appearance of democracy.
That means it's not required to have a staff board member, right? This one? Is that what it says?
Well,
our three members could
if
be
we
staff,
want to accomplish something, can we?
They're going
to
go in the general pool? Is that what you're saying? The staff runs in the general pool?
That's right.
Yes. We just all together. Three people all together.
Personally, I appreciate whenever we bring something up and people can bring up salient points. What I find annoying is when people keep repeating back across the table, back and forth, I say this, I say no, I say yes, I say no. That's what's wasting time. It's good for the general body to hear other opinions they may not have heard for their consideration. And not everybody at a given table considering a given thing may have considered all the other aspects. So that's the only thing that I say.
Well,
we do waste a lot of time.
I don't think this thing's going to pass anywhere but the West Coast stations anyway. I don't think the East Coast stations will vote for that. And I don't think we'll vote for it, so.
It's already excused.
Oh, I think the board is too big, but I just think given the history of the organization, the trying to be inclusive, the adoption of the election process, which basically empowers the minority, I just don't think that it's going to get the votes it needs to pass in three stations.
Well, in theory, it's very difficult for me, but in theory, I could justify reducing the number, but it's a hard thing to do when you look at the representation of minorities already, and you only expect that would be exacerbated because anytime there are less slots, the tribes kind of just circle wagons and just, protect even more what they have. And but then, just like the city of Houston in its charter, that when you grow, you have to expand the number of seats. And we have had contrition, so that's why I have a reasonable argument why we would reduce the number of seats, because we're not as big as we were when we created the 24-seat concept. But it seems like it ought to be some other type of balancing act that you could put in there if we went to reduce it to ensure representation. And Republicans call that quota or what have you, but I have a problem with the representation on our national level and some of our local level now. But I think reducing it certainly is going to exacerbate that, you know, unless we address it.
Well, I think that an important point of that is, and I think that that's why I don't think that that will win, because automatically, I don't agree with the bylaws, with all of them, because really some things are ridiculous, should be changed. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime that we have it there, they are there.
Yeah, live with it, huh?
My view on this is that this particular one, the one that is now will come to vote, is not really well thought. And you know, when the discussion starts, I will explain exactly why it doesn't make sense and couldn't, even if all of us agree with the principle, the way that it's being written doesn't work. First of all, we are eliminating the percentage. It's always kind of a balance. Is 75% of the boards or the board are listeners, members, and 25% are staff, volunteers, whatever. It's very clear. That is part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
If we eliminate, I agree with that. But that changed that. And you know, that is a very important discussion that you will have everywhere. But it's worse than that. I read somewhere, I don't remember, but I haven't. I wasn't prepared for today because I didn't think that we would talk about this. At some point in time, it's being said that we cannot have the whole PMB cannot have more than 49% being staff
paid staff
or volunteer, right? Well, according to what, that is a different article.
Hold on, time out.
Wait.
Y'all said paid staff.
No. It's an IRS problem.
Yes.
It's about having people who get paid by the corporation having control of the corporation, not-for-profit corporation.
But as it is, we don't have any member of the PMB that is a staff member, right?
Yes, we have. Six.
Paid staff members.
Yeah, we have five.
Staff members.
Oh, well, yes.
George Ryan.
Oh, yes.
George Ryan's not paid. Leanna's not. Leanna's
yeah.
not
on the well, you're talking in this me. Tony Moore, Tony Cox is a paid staff.
He is.
But he's not on the PMB.
We're talking about the PMB, not the LSB.
At the PMB, we have Brian Edward Tickle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing, what I'm saying is more than that. That is a different discussion.
Won't make
the but the way that they write this last one, that they want us to vote, doesn't limit. They said that we LSB will vote for three members, all the classes together, but doesn't say that the most will be one staff member. Doesn't say anything. You can have,
three.
According of the change that
all
they are making, you can have all of three of them from all the stations being paid staff. What difference does this make? Doesn't say it in this writing. It means that shows that people do not use this when they are trying to rush amendments. It means that by itself will eliminate the option to vote for this. That's why I'm saying, do not hold your breath, because that will not come.
Okay.
It's illegal.
Excuse me. Okay. This is very interesting, and I would like to hear what Advent is saying. But he left a conference so that he could come to here, and he wants to go back. And so, have we done everything that we need to do for?
We can't do anything. So what we're trying to do is have a discussion among each other, so that we may can help other members if we can. In other words, this was an exercise of the chair trying to facilitate a mandate of having a meeting every month. And I tried it three shots. This is the strikeout. Some members couldn't be here. Some just boycotting and what have you. But now we're here. We're just having a discussion.
Okay.
That's all.
Is there anything you'd like to specifically mention, Alan, before you leave?
No, I'm not in an anxious hurry to leave. I did not get to TSU at all because of the storms. By the time I left the Heights, when it was still raining, I only had 1 hour before this meeting began, which means I could have gone to TSU, and in 15 minutes I would have had left to come over here. So it was pointless to even hurry over there. So I still haven't made it over there.
Well, if the bicycle fit in my trunk with the wheelchair in there, I'd be happy to give you a ride.
It'll fit in my trunk.
If you can show me how to get there.
You want to go?
No, I don't want to go at this point.
But he would bring
it. Well, he's a good guy.
Sitting up hurts. You need to understand that. I generally spend Saturdays laying flat.
Is that right?
Well,
Susan. Oh, yeah, let's hear from Susan.
When you say that that we're mandated to have the meetings, this says each LSB shall meet as often as required to accomplish its duties, but not less than every other month.
We have a precedent that has been established.
I see.
Right.
And in anticipation of getting business done, if we met every other month, we probably wouldn't get half the work.
Well, I'm not suggesting we do. I mean, I just thought that if we miss a month, it's not a requirement.
Actually, we've deviated from that, I guess, because the LSB at some point felt like it was important for them to meet every month, although we don't get a whole lot done. But those bylaws are one of the reasons why we mentioned the conflagration of policy and governance and purpose, even at the national level, but even now here at the local level. So really what I'd like to turn this discussion to is, what is your view of the LSB? If you've read the bylaws, and again, the chair had tried to put together with Bill a retreat kind of situation, and it might be an ideal location. The Union Hall might be an ideal location to bring the 20 of us, 23 of us together, and let former chair Bill and some other folk give us a little history about this organization, the bylaws. We have a little breakout session about maybe someone from the outside coming to talking to us about the difference in governance of nonprofits, because it's varied and everybody has their own view. But you know, the 20 or 24 of us read those bylaws, and I guess you being an attorney could say this better than anybody. The interpretation is left to the reader. But there have to be a final arbiter to determine what really does the bylaw say. And who is that final arbiter?
Well, ultimately, it's going to be a court of law. If somebody's mad enough about something we did in violation of the bylaws, they'll sue us.
But I'm talking
We'd
about
like
the
to
governance.
Avoid that if possible.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us governing. For instance, this chair, and these members, all they have a different view of what those A through L, I think it's A through L, requirements or expectations or guidelines or things that LSB is supposed
under
to
Roberts, do. The chair is asked to make a ruling on a point of order, and in this case, we're talking specifically related to violating the bylaws. And the chair makes a ruling. And if somebody contests the ruling of the chair, then the majority of this body is the final arbiter of what those bylaws say.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I think that what we, that's why I when we have a new member, I try to give those information to them, because it doesn't make sense to try to invent the wheel every time. I mean, it's already there. We are using it. We have a standing rules, this KPFT LSB. And I think that, in a way, it's doing in some conflicting points, things that we have different views. I think that some of them explain what we meant, or how we interpret that. And I think that it's important that we know that that exists. And we go there and check when we have it up, because somebody was working on that before.
But there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you excuse me for.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is, those standing rules are 7 years old.
No.
And in those 7 years, we have passed standing rules that have never been incorporated into that, what I call codified.
That's the problem.
You know, when the Congress or the Senate passes along, the President signs it, they go into the a book. It's the public laws of the United States of America. But then they pay somebody to go through those laws. They created something called the United States Code. Mm-hmm. And they pay people to go through the new laws and determine what chapter of the code the law applies to. And they go in and they correct or add or subtract to the code. And then, you know, like if you've ever been in a law library, mm-hmm. you know, they send out little pamphlets that you stick in the back for all the updates that have occurred since they've published the
book. Now it's electronically, so you can just put it in.
So now it gets done electronically. Yeah. But we've got 7 years' worth of stuff that's never been put in the code.
I have an answer for that, too, or my view of that. We were very clear before when we said the LSB can pass any vote that they wanted, but unless... And that's why we did it with membership, and I remember the issue. Unless that we, when we present it to the LSB, and the LSB vote on that, we vote saying that we will put that in our special and standing rules, and we define if it's a special or a standing, because make a big difference, we always preface that. We did it with membership. I went to a bunch of minutes of all meetings, and I cannot find as many that said we will put it in the special and standing rules. It means when that happened, that specific motion, the validity is that year, the year that is being presented, the year that is being voted for that LSB.
Well, that's just wrong. When we pass a rule, it's a rule. It doesn't have to say this is a rule. And I don't think that happened with the committee membership rule.
Oh, yes.
I will give you a for instance. The first meeting I came to in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. I made a motion that we suspend Robert's rules so that the members do not have to rise while speaking. Mm-hmm. And it passed unanimously. Mm-hmm. That's a rule. And it should be in those standing rules.
Well, it's not part of the interpretation. That's why.
It's not part of the interpretation because the governance committee will not revise the standing rule document.
Robert, what I'm trying to say is you can go to the meeting and you were one of the ones that asked me. I was the chair of the governance committee that present the new Article 3 of our standing and special rules about membership in the committee, and you were one of the ones that asked me exactly. And we can discuss it like we always do, or we can go to the sources and hear it. That's why, and you mentioned that, and I agree totally, and a bunch of members there agree, and we said, yes, then what we are asking for this specific article, this rule, go to the standing and special rules.
And we it's fine it. That you did that, but it's not necessary for
well,
something to
it's
become
not
a
what, it's not what I was told there, and I accepted because I think that makes sense. I mean, everybody met the rules for them. I cannot...
I don't know who told you that.
It's common sense.
You know, when
it's
the Congress
sense.
Passes a law, they're not saying we would like to make this law a law. They're just passing a law.
They say that it's a law. We don't make laws. We are a subcommittee. We cannot do anything, as a subcommittee we have a limited option. And I think that the only thing that we are doing when we pass a rule is saying this specific body, the members that we have now, this year, the vote, this year supposedly, we will conduct ourselves with these rules. We cannot make rules, we cannot change by law, it means that we cannot tell to the next LSB group, you abide for our rules, unless common sense, we put it in a special and a standing rules.
We did. It's just never been codified. We did it. We voted on it. What are you afraid of that's been made a rule that you don't want to be a rule anymore?
No, I don't. I'm not afraid of anything. What I'm afraid
of is I don't even remember what the rules are we made, but I know we made a lot. I know we made a rule that said our committees not meet on Saturday. I know we did that. Or I think it was Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I think it was
Friday, Saturday.
That was
Saturday.
A religious thing at the time to
Jim
honor
Boyd's
people's faith.
Motion last year.
I saw, I'll stop posting about that. I'm just wondering where would I find those rules?
In the Bible. I mean, in
the minutes.
See, that's minutes. So they're not actually in the standing rules.
Oh, let's make
because
it
nobody's
clear.
Ever done it.
And that's why.
And when I was the chair of the governance committee, I asked the governance committee to take on that task.
Right.
It requires somebody to do some work nobody wanted to do.
And that's why this chair has the authority to not having knowledge of a law, or if a law or a rule is not articulated, then you don't have to follow it. So even though they passed legislation, as he just aptly articulated, if it ain't codified, which is the last thing I got was 2010 anyway, so even if I got a brand new one, it wouldn't be codified.
Exactly.
So all those things pass unless they're brought into the code. It's really just some action that was taken that was never justified nor codified. That's the way I see it. Because I'm not going to be held for something that's in folks' mind.
Well,
I'm only going to be held for stuff that's on paper.
The
in terms
standing
of what's before
rule
me.
That was passed referred to our committees. It did not refer to the LSB. So you don't have to worry about whether you wrote the rule scheduling this meeting today.
Well, I really have
for our committees.
That's limiting folk to four. See, here was the problem with me with this making this meeting. If I did it on another Wednesday, PNB and other committees love Wednesday. So that wasn't an option. And then if I knew the rule that you just described, even as a committee person, as a committee chair, if you take three out of the seven options I have and then put me on the four ones, and then I'm competing with PNB, that's a really compressed schedule that you kind of hold folk to when y'all made that rule. And I that's hard to live with if just offensive.
We
have an active LSB.
Before.
We don't have an active LSB.
But, you know. Because, you know, have scheduling a meeting on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, this is what's going to happen.
Well, the organizations I've been associated with, Robert, and they come from all different views. They make a commitment to an organization. They don't make a commitment to a day.
The calendar will show you that two of the station, the other sister station, they hold committees in Saturdays.
But he was talking about this culture. Robert was talking about the Houston culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
and it's evidence. Listen, I can't take issue with obvious truth. Because what your statement is, as evidence, there are some folk who are boycotting this meeting. Because they don't want to meet on Saturday, okay? So I accept that. I recognize that. I realize that. And I don't have no intentions of planning to try to change the meeting as was implied to Saturday. This was just a special meeting.
Who would that be?
Hank. Why do you have such...
He did specifically, so all right.
Such a young... And as if it was... I have a personal need for saying no. What I wanted to do was not bump up against y'all PNB and bump up against his Wednesday...
Excuse me. Hank is mistaken because it was just... Robert said it was just...
Committees
without a two-thirds vote of majority of the board to say, yes, we're going
to
do it on a Saturday.
That's why I don't respond.
That's what I'm
him.
Saying. I mean, we can... waste our time discussing what people think instead of going to the sources. Why don't we go to the sources?
And
it's
that's
nothing
that
prevents
the governance committee should go to the source and make a list of the main things that were passed.
Okay.
Last year, one of our LSB members.
I got you. Give me a
second. Once she came one or twice to our LSB meeting, recently elected. We are all scrambling, trying to think if we can change our normal date and of meeting and time because she couldn't be on time. She was with us two or three.
Who?
We don't need.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
Pollard.
Diana Pollard. She came to two or three meetings, you know. I mean, but then that's what I'm saying. You see that depending who that person is, if you come glamorously there and, you know, and I don't know, you are a lawyer and you speak that voice and are so commanding with your words, even with your action or not, people are immediately, oh, maybe we should rethink what we will do. No! It's a party, it's democracy. We vote what the majority wants is what stay there.
I'm not saying we can't vote and do what the majority wants. I'm saying the majority has voted. Rules were made.
Oh, the majority.
And nobody knows what they are. As Blaine said, he doesn't know where they were because nobody in the governance committee felt that was their job. And I can't think of any committee whose job that would be if not governance.
Okay. I forgot when I was convener of the governance committee. I don't know, 2010 or 11. I don't remember when it was. But we tried, and it was like Ted and Henschel. Nancy came to one meeting only, and then she.
But Bob was more active at the time.
Bob did the really hard work. Bob and myself and Ted and in the governance committee, and we did some changing of the standing rules, and we presented our changes and cleaned up some really silly stuff that didn't need to be there. But it was just like, you know, the board, just Bill and Robert said, no, the presentation is not good, so you need to have a better presentation. Anyway, we tried again, and then everything changed, and then it just went away.
I don't think I would have said it. What I would have said is it's not wordsmithed very well, and it's ambiguous. And to try and make it more clear, I wouldn't have said anything about the presentation of what was written.
Yes, you wanted the old one next to the new one, and we tried in a different way.
Again. I think that something important here, we are saying, that is what I hear, and maybe I'm wrong. Sometimes, and the law, I mean, sometimes some judges told me that. If you are saying that is some law or some rule that is different, instead of saying, hey, why all of you start looking and see that somewhere it is? A lawyer and a judge will look at you and will say, show me when and where. You think that is something different. Instead of asking all of us to do that, why the people that complain don't show me where that is?
We have a governance committee in charge of our rules. And they're all out trying to make new rules, which is fine with me, but nobody wants to take on the task of codifying the rules we have.
Or, wait a minute, Robert, correct that now, kind of make it a little more clear. No one wants to take the class to clean up the mess that they assumed. Because when that was passed, there was a governance chairperson. And that governance chairperson did not codify. Then there was another governance chairperson the year after that was passed. Wasn't her. So what you're basically saying is that these new chairs are not willing to go back and clean up 3 or 4 years of laziness.
Exactly.
And I don't blame them. But I believe this chair, with the new group, with more energy hopefully, can have a task force. You have a task force that then will go, and we got, thank God, because of the requirement of the AG, we got the records, because we did have a task force through him and you and other folk to put the minutes together. So we got the body of work that would have been a problem.
Which, by the way, on the new website, I haven't found where the close to yet.
Exactly.
So nobody. I always go to the website to look up.
Well, they would think.
So you see what I'm saying? At least we got it in a place, and if we get a task force to go and pull it, which I think is what's going to have to happen,
four or five people to pull it,
and then they'll bring it to the body, and then that's when the body could say, this was passed, I make a motion to rescind it.
Exactly.
They could.
Okay. But we're on the same page in terms of, I agree, it needs to be done.
Right.
And then this body, the new body, can address it as whether it's their will to sustain the actions of the previous body or not.
Sure.
And I'm willing to do that should we get the energy and the people and the folk who would do that.
I've been waiting because I don't like interrupting people.
Okay.
Because I think that's one of our problems. We do have this, I mean, there's a lot of things I say, that we do have that Houston attitude for our board. And I think a lot of it may come from the fact that we're so bad at it. And there's this, we're volunteers. I don't care, you know, if you're a volunteer fire department, you're standing there while somebody's house is burning down.
I'm a volunteer firefighter.
That is no excuse.
Get paid firefighter to do
you don't want to be professional about this, don't be professional about it. Don't even show up. Don't be on the board if you're not going to take this seriously. And everybody should be here. They're not, whatever, I'm not going to curse anybody about it, but don't tell me how we're volunteers and that excuses this ridiculous behavior that happened. Mm-hmm. Secondly.
Yes.
I think everybody here would clap to that. You made the commitment.
I'm trying to read my own notes, and that's really difficult for me to do. I'd like to... There is a lot of times that we, and I think so many people have come to the board during public comment and said, oh, you're a bunch of twits sitting here arguing with yourselves. Mm-hmm. And they're right. Mm-hmm. And I would like to thank the current chair, because he's the first person I've seen actually at least try to enforce some decent order and actually using the time limits specified in our standing rules. Again, it's good that we actually have the standing rules. We need the stuff in there that helps us maintain order. Because if someone wants to carry on crazy and basically sabotage our meetings with endless debate that goes nowhere, you're sabotaging Pacifica.
I was chair for 3 years, and that happened at every meeting that I tried to conduct.
And you have to fight like hell as chair against it. And I wasn't at any meeting, so I'm going to assume you fought like hell against it, and I congratulate you, and I think that Dwayne is doing a good job.
In fact, there was a lot more acrimony when he was chair.
It's not easy.
Than it is now, if you can imagine.
And I am told that we had, at the most acrimonious time of since I've been on the LSB,
I would have to agree.
That we get along better than the people from the time.
Imagine that. But can you imagine that?
Yeah.
You know? So, well, I wouldn't even want to witness that.
Sure. And it's the fact that, again, we end up with chairs who don't basically maintain order for us. And it is, and now as they chair, and I am the chair now, the governance committee, if you guys don't like me, please tell me so, and I will gladly step down. But I will assume the responsibility because I care about responsibility. Because I care about Pacifica. And I'm trying to do some good. And one of the first things that happened at my first meeting was people said, hey, there's some responsibilities in the bylaws that are specified the LSB is supposed to be doing. And we think that if nothing else, the governance board could, you know, get on the LSB about doing that. Great idea. I have yet to be able to get the members of the meeting. All I always say is, look, tell me, show me the rules you're concerned about. I'm not going to do your work for you. You show me the work, I will put it in a report and I will get it to the LSB. And when you made this comment about how it just bothers me a little bit, because I think it is a little bit of the attitude of, well, I'm a volunteer, you should go do all the work. Let me make the suggestion that you guys do all the work. Someone brings it to me. Now, I'm a person, I've run my own business. I've worked at a university for years. I've been a professional. I've been in the blue-collar side. I've been everywhere. And as far as I'm concerned, out of the top of my head, well, in any kind of reasonable fashion, anybody who has, in your position, you say, hey, there's a rule that was passed on a committee. You're going to bring it to the chair's position. The chair's going to come to me and say, okay, it's been brought to me. I want you guys to work on it. I'm going to put it on my agenda, and I'm going to work on it. I'm not going to just, okay, somebody mentioned something, and okay, because believe me, everyone on this board is going to have some pet peeve thing, and I can spend the next 300 years looking through all the little pet peeve things and never get anything done. My work has to be at some point reasonably regulated. I'm willing, we got people on the committee who can come up with whatever their ideas are they want to work on, and as long as we can do that, that's what I'm going to be working on. And if he tells me to do something, I'm going to give that priority because I know that this is something of greater importance. And that's how I'm going to look at it. But I just cannot kind of do what you said. You want me to go hunt down something that I didn't even know about? Don't put me in that position. I agree with you that you're right. I think that that's a perfectly reasonable rule. I'm not standing. That's something we should have. Absolutely. It should be in the standing or special rules, whatever is appropriate. It just needs to be brought to me, and I'd be happy to do that.
Well, and I should tie this up with something that Dwayne said when he started the conversation. I think that those rules got updated in anticipation of the orientation meetings that we had, which once the orientation meetings quit, nobody had an incentive to create as updated a set of standing and local rules. So when the orientations went south, the updating the rules
went
south.
Right?
And I think that's the real cause, is that, you know, nobody had a reason. Mm-hmm. So I'm in favor of the orientation.
Okay. I have something that you say make a lot of sense just now. I mean, all of you make a lot of sense, obviously. But I, yeah.
I'm not sure what it is.
I heard one of our LSB members that when we were complaining about people that, you know, came in a year and a half to one meeting of our LSB, that is not fair, that member said exactly that. Well, we are all volunteers. Yes, but you get the commitment. Even if you volunteer, like he said, to whatever task that you want in your life, you need, if you make a commitment, you need to do it. If you cannot, like we said when we discussed this rule and excuse absences, nobody's saying that life is not happening. Life happened to all of us, and suddenly our circumstances change, and what we think that we have time for that, suddenly we don't. The only problem, what I don't see here, is the responsibility and the accountability. When people say, I don't have the time, I'm sorry, I think that I did, but I don't, then I step aside and let somebody else there. The animosity that we have, the faction, that attitude, no, but if I leave my place, maybe somebody that I don't like will take my place. There is where professionals need to have a very clear frame, if you want, of what we are supposed to be doing. And in case that you don't have what you should and regulate, self-regulate yourself, we will have some rules that tell people, you know what, this is the limit. And that's it. It's exactly going to what he was saying. I mean, it's insane. At some point in time, we know that it's insane. And we have a responsibility. We saw the roast, the Reiki roast, show really, like, we can all put a nice face, mm-hmm. Go in front of possible donors or even listeners. Some of them are already, you know, members, and tell them we are all together, we are working together, staff, paid and unpaid, volunteers, LSB members. We know that we can do, when we do that, we have a result. We have people answering to us. And like we said, in those, it was amazing. Some people were asking me specific questions, and even
talking
like,
in the Reiki session, right.
And some of them were asking me questions, and I said what I really think. Sometimes I'm not much into politics, but even when I was telling those persons that my view was different than theirs, I mean, it was a nice, a pleasant environment where we discuss our ideas. Not people that look at you and the first thing that do to shut you up, tell you are ugly or idiot. You know, that is what we need to be sure that we frame our attitude to that. People, most people in the station and outside the station look at you and say, oh, you're a LSB member, what are you doing? Why are you not raising money? You know, my answer is, sir, here we have A till M. These are, we are the governance body. We should help.
Is raising money one of those things?
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
But it's not what she's saying, I guess, is not prioritized.
Exactly. Look at that. We start in A, and that is, let's see.
We start in what?
I. We have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
That's the order they have it in?
Yes.
I?
The number nine.
Uh-oh.
Number nine in this list is to assist,
we wouldn't want
to assist in a station fundraising activities.
Meaning that assist to me
assist
means that you don't take the lead.
Exactly.
But that the management comes to you with an idea and you jump on it. And that generally hasn't happened. But I want to take this to finance is where I want to take it. So we'll be of some substance here because each of you were at the finance committee. Mm-hmm. And
two were not the present. Susan
at the last
and
meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Right. That meeting.
We didn't have
COVID. I'm going to turn these two questions to Robert and to the PMB member there, fellow PMB member there. When I asked Dwayne, and I had to ask him, what amount of money did we have in the bank for the transmitter? What kind of answer did he give you?
$23,000.
That's not, I didn't ask you.
Mm, sorry.
What kind of answer did he give you?
Not very clear.
I think it was $23,000.
No,
but he hedged. He started out talking about 60-some-odd thousand
come on.
That had been raised that went to pay the general expenses in the fall when money got short. And I don't know why he meant, I wouldn't have mentioned money that's spent. But he seems to think somehow it can be paid back.
Worse than that, though, my preference was, why did I have to find out in the Houston Chronicle that we have $50,000? According to his statement, in the bank toward the transmitter.
I don't know. I don't read.
May I say something, sir?
Yes. I mean, I'm coming to you, but
I'm trying but to. I know that other voices read better than me, and it's more understandable.
Transparency.
But I'm just opening here what we receive, with the Management and Selection Review Committee, report to KPFT LSV. RE, PMB, NFC, National Finance Committee, transmitter motion. April 15, 2015.
9 days ago. Exactly. 10 days ago.
I have here, let me read it. This is our general manager report. On the positive side, of course, will be the recent dedicated effort to raise targeted funds for the transmitted project at the Ray Hill Rose this month. The dedicated funds from that evening, totaling around $10,000, along with the previously dedicated funds of roughly $52,000, put us within practical range of obtaining this vital piece of operational equipment. Using, obviously, the $100,000, adding to that the $100,000 that loan that KPFA is giving us. I mean, this is sent to us April 15. April 20 is what you are talking about.
But
the non-quorum,
she didn't get it
needs,
she's not in
that's why,
she...
the non-quorum,
the non-quorum
meeting of the KPFT Finance Committee. Dwayne Lark, our chair, came there. We didn't have quorum, obviously. We couldn't conduct official business, but our general manager was kind to be there. And then he asked him the same question. He said, "Sir, how much money do we have? Because we have the $100,000. That already, and we were talking about grab it fast, because you know, in this foundation, who knows? You need to grab those 100,000 if you want
don't
it
find
now.
Out.
Now. And the best way, in my view, the best way is, we should put the order now. If we have 62,000 here, and we have that there, and he passes a total, kind of $159,000 he passed. I said, "Will we grab it immediately?" And he said, "No, couldn't be." I said, "Why don't we start ordering? That takes time." "Oh, well, it happened that we are asking, we are waiting for that money to come." I said, "But no, you told us in the National Finance Committee that with 25% of those 159, right, we can order, and we have that, we have 62,000. No, well, that is just in papers.
Yeah,
what I just read is his report to us. He then asked him, "Wait, tell me effectively how much money we have in the bank." And the answer was, "Well, I think that around 23,000. My question is, and I know some of these answers, right? But it's open for all of you. I don't want to put there my views. This information was sent to us April 15th. How could that be that 5 days later, when we are saying, why we don't start this? The answer is, well, that is in paper that we have, but we use it for something else. then why you send me a misleading information telling us in this report that we have 52 plus 100,000, we put us within practical range of obtaining this vital piece of operational equipment. That is what I'm talking about, you know. I don't, this is my view on this, I don't think that he personally, you know, he's trying to explain whatever, but what I'm saying is, we are put in a position when we need to make decisions with reports. Then when you make the decision with that report, the result is, no, but that report is not really real.
If I can interrupt you, madam, would the letter, would the report at best be misleading?
I guess. I don't know. Unless the report was sent out before he spent the money. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, no, he admitted to us.
But I also know he gave two critical answers to the question that have been intentionally left out. When asked, why don't we order the transmitter, he says, I've been in discussion with our engineering people about doing just that. And nothing has been resolved yet. And the other piece of information was, he couldn't do anything about getting his hands on $100,000 that the radio station in the California has not committed to let us have until their general manager got back from vacation in 2 weeks.
No.
So they have not agreed to give us $100,000. The interim executive director has agreed to give us $100,000.
No. They did, and our CFO told us that the money is there. We need to work the details, but what you are talking about is something that wasn't decided yet. But my point here is the National Finance Committee received a report that was dated the month before, that where they even explain here is exactly the quote of what kind of transmitter we need. It's not anything. That is for local consumption. And the national level, this is what is being said, that we already decide that it's a normal FM transmitter with output option 25% down payment and get like 30 days, right, to get here. That's what I'm saying.
Let me come to Joe, but I don't want to leave this because I think there's some significant issues that transparency and honesty is of issue here. Go ahead.
Actually, something you just said, because you was asked, why haven't we ordered yet? What was his answer to it? Oh, I'm having a discussion with people. We didn't ask if you were having a discussion with people. We asked you, why isn't it done? He could have said, okay, well, we haven't decided this.
Can you install a transmitter?
Let me finish. I probably could, actually. But that's beside the point. What is relevant is it's an evasive answer. When we asked at the meeting, when he gives this information to the Chronicle, it's evasive, it's misleading information. When we were at the, and you can go to the recording of the Finance Committee, we asked, when Dwayne asks about this one, when Nancy asks about this one, Adrian asks about this, we get this 53. If it weren't for the fact that we sat there for 15 minutes and drilled questions and go, wait a minute, what, do we have the actual? Well, it's on paper. What do you mean by on paper? We had to sit there and go around and around and around. Continuously. Now, Dwayne Bradley being the best manager in the world or the worst manager in the world, apparently the way he does things is he makes misleading statements, and maybe he does it because he thinks that's how it'll work best. I don't know why. And in order to get information out of him, you have to, it's almost like an interrogation or something. And it just seems like that's what it takes to get information out of him. Now, I would like to tie that into the fact that at the MSSRC meeting, Jim Boyd was there. When some people started making some comments about dealing with Dwayne, which we know this is Dwayne's MO, this is how it works, good, bad, or ugly, Jim Boyd pops says, well, only people should be on a vendetta. You know, so what he's doing, he's trying to shut people down who are asking, but the thing is, the only way you can get a straight answer is by asking a lot of questions. So we have someone on the board who's accusing other members of the board of being on a vendetta just because they're trying to get a straight answer. This is frustrating. He needs to learn how to give some straight answers. And if he doesn't, you need to accept the fact that we have to go through this process, one way or the other, right? And it's very frustrating.
Well, let me bring this back to me.
Now, wait a second, because he asked a question. He said, why is it directed to me?
Because you, after I explained that all of this that is in writing, and I said that we have a quote, right, from his hand. I didn't invent any of that. I asked, and these are the answers. You just told, and it's there, right? You just said that intentionally, in being or in a misleading way, is letting out, and then you explain that he said, well, this, you already make a commentary trying to say that what I'm bringing here, that are just paper, oh, no, but you are leaving out some important information. No, the important information is what they give us in writing. And in writing is exactly
then he shouldn't have had to answer the question at all except in writing, if that's your position.
It only counts
if it's in writing, then he should have just not said anything at all.
What I said.
Well, let me step in here on that one, y'all. Because, go ahead.
Let me say one quick thing. Is again, point of the problem, as the board, as the LSB and the PNB is obligated to do, we're supposed to be keeping Pacifica afloat. And the one thing we need is accurate and complete information to be able to function and do our jobs. And we have employees who are giving us misleading, and we have to treat like, you know, war criminals or something to get some information out of them. This is ridiculous. It's actually undermining both the local and the national board's ability to do their jobs.
This is certainly not outrageous. The national, because we don't control the national.
We have representatives in the national.
We need to work here.
Can we give them information?
Mr. Chairman, can I point out that we would be long past the time for public commentary?
Oh, yes.
And that maybe since we have people that have come in, we ought to give them opportunity to speak?
Well noted. Gentlemen, if you would like to address this unofficial meeting.
Well, I will. I mean, but, you know, I don't understand why y'all having this meeting. Why can't you do this when you go to the regular meeting? Have a lucid discussion about problems and contradictions.
Largely because there's too many people.
I've been a program registration since 1971. And the same started as soon as we had an elected board. It's been endless. And there are disagreements I would have with everybody in the damn room, but the money that comes into the station comes from people like me raising money to people who listen to me. It don't come from your pocket.
To be perfectly honest, a little of it does.
I've made the donations too, but that's meaningless. I don't consider it of any consequence. But I'm just saying that we need to have this kind of meeting when we're someplace else and there's 23, 24 people in there. This has been an elusive meeting. He came in saying he thought this was some big, you know, clusterfuck. I don't. We don't do this enough.
Well, you are
when y'all add up the board meeting, that's why I come. Because I want to know what the hell is going on. I don't understand why y'all didn't have a quorum, and you went immediately to having a meeting. That was quite peculiar. Y'all don't usually do that when you're someplace else.
Well, that's not together true, brother. In fact, previous chairs have the discretion, and I've been on the board the last 4 or 5 years. When we don't meet a quorum, we sit around and talk. That's been didn't you do that when you were chair?
Not for very long. Usually up until the time we said we're not going to get a quorum.
But that had a lot to do with they didn't want to talk to each other either. We just acknowledged the fact what you're seeing in the last year or two is less acrimony than what members came in the meetings and saw 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm told less acrimony than what folks saw when it was first reconfigured. So you're seeing a group of people who can talk to each other and have a decent conversation, but when you get to 20 or 24 and the factions are in place, they are too acrimonious toward each other, so we have to have a structure, a rigid structure, so everybody ain't jumping and doing what they want to do, and that's called an agenda that gives us some kind of discipline. But I will admit that's no excuse for us not to have on the agenda a opportunity for a lucid conversation. But we spend 3 hours on a 5-hour agenda every meeting, and we only get an hour done because of the acrimony, because we don't have self-discipline. in many cases, and that's not new to the board.
And when people start throwing out words like vendetta, they're purposely sabotaging them.
Your turn.
None of you have a goal except to get to the next meeting. Let me ask.
Well, that's an insult that personally I can't take because I worked too hard to accept that.
I was on the board.
I have articulated
goals. I was on the board for 6 years.
Just raised $10,000. So
it wasn't an insult. That's
think
great.
About who you're talking to,
that's
okay?
Great. Exactly.
Before you
that's
make a statement.
Dwayne.
All right.
Dwayne.
I have to take issue with that. I've got a purpose.
I'm not your enemy. I'm not here to insult you.
All right.
Because
don't insult me.
Volunteer work. This is hard work. This is hard work. $200K for a transmitter. Is that a lot of money?
Yes, it's a lot of money by my standard.
No, it's not.
Okay, it is a lot of money to an individual.
But you're right.
No, it's not.
Exactly.
Now, if the board would accept the goal of raising that $200K or part of it, even a partial goal, and you say just raise 10 at the Ray benefit, which is great, okay, that's really good.
That's 5%.
Next week there's a Sapphire benefit. Who's going?
Hey, I tell you something.
There you go. House of Blues, Carolyn Street, Sunday.
May I tell you something?
Say that. Wait. Before you interrupt him, expand on this event, because it's the first time I've heard it.
Okay. Really? It's on the KPFT website.
Well,
I've
heard about it all the time.
Yeah, it's been on the air several times.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's six bands. It's House of Blues. They reduced the price remarkably through Live Nation.
House of Blues.
A couple of people came in and gave me a couple $1,000s. That rented that paid for the remaining rental of the room, paid for T-shirts, paid for green room catering, paid for having the out-of-town bands come, the whole thing, and still had money left over to start the positive Calabana fundraiser. 300 tickets, hoping to do $25-$30 a ticket.
House of Blues, that's pretty
clear profit, pretty high end, exactly. They're projecting $6,500. I'd like to see 8 or 9 out of it, but my point is, that's a benefit. Ray Hill, the roast, that was a good benefit. I'm sorry I couldn't be there that night. $200K is not a lot of money if you break it into pieces. Give yourself goals. Give yourself a chance to have a positive input that we can all agree on. No one's ever going to agree, Dwayne. No one's ever going to agree. We all have our opinion. But community radio, what we stand for, KPFT, to me, is creating that dialogue and that bridge. And that takes goals.
Well, no, this is public time, so it's your time. The former chair made that clear. We do 30 minutes of meeting. Since it's an unofficial meeting, we still like to hear from the public. So, marketing, this event you just talked about.
See, that's such an important word. You just said something. You like to hear from, you're willing to hear. I mean, Sandy's been doing this
too long.
Not as long as I've been doing it, but I mean, I'm not the public, okay? In real terms, I'm as close to the listening audience to being the boss that anybody's going to get.
There you go. He's been there a while. He knows the terrain.
I've not just been there a while. I'm a programmer. I do what Dwayne so deftly weaves into pledges. But it's the stuff that we do at different times of day at KPFT. It brings it in. Sandy and I don't always agree about shit. I mean, what the hell do you expect of a black dude, white dude? I mean, that's the way it is. You know, we don't agree on very much, you know? But I just find it amazing. I heard people being lucid and courteous to each other. And it went on until Sandy came in. But, you know, I don't think
he screwed it up.
It's just that I don't. One of the things I really hate about this session is the invite. I hate it. It makes me hate the people who do it. And I move away and stay away, except to come in and do my program. I'm fucking very good at what I do, but it kind of really sours you. I've gone to some board meetings where they were going to break for some other kind of executive session, and this shit started, it was just bubbling over. And I don't understand why. I mean, there ain't no big prize out of running this. There's no award we're gonna get. And I'm talking about all of us. Do you understand? It's just we're trying to do a radio station for social consciousness.
Right. That I had a
that's
question
what trying to do.
About
that's
this fundraiser. Fundraising. When is it again?
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Was the, you, I'm sure there's a
post email.
Mm-hmm. Was it sent to the LSB email?
Robin sent out her email blast. I got it as a listener.
I didn't get it, so I don't go to the website that often, and obviously I don't listen enough.
Then, of course,
I haven't heard of it, and I probably would want to support it.
I would really encourage you to look at the website more often.
The new one I will, I heard.
More and more, we're going digital.
Same. Okay. The new one I heard.
We have to be honest. We look at the website, there's a lot of stuff that ain't there. It's in total chaos. A mess of it is like hell. And it's just, I don't understand why there's so much infighting. Everybody's going to pass on that. But I don't understand why it's so constant.
I don't believe
it. Understand the pride.
But Cliff,
you want to fight with somebody.
It's really not unusual when you look at organizations and entities, period. I don't care if it's the police department. I don't care if it's a corporate structure. People are contentious.
Before we had an elected board, I used to go to board meetings every goddamn 2 weeks. And there was never fucking infighting. It was infighting behind closed doors, like the way they do when they meet for a national board meeting and everybody goes to these little cubbyholes to plot their strategy, but it wasn't a big blast of hostility. You can almost feel it in the room. I didn't feel it before, but it's immediately when it got really contentious, and I can't figure out why.
I know why. Okay, start with her, finish with him. And now you can try to find out why.
Something before we lose
a goal. Have a common goal.
Before we lose it.
Have something we can all agree on.
Yes.
But please, Cliff, very elegant in what he's saying. And he's right. Please, no more. You don't have to be acrimonious. You don't have to be Robert's Rules. You have to be anything.
We're caring about
but care. And a goal for the station.
Let me ask you something that is exactly what I'm trying to say. We, you know, this big book is the bylaws. This exact chapter,
I did 6 years on the board.
Okay. Then my question is, if I go to you, or to you, that program is, I ask you, why don't you do A, B, and C, you could ask me, how much do you know about my tasks, right? Because it makes sense. You are a programmer. You know what to do, and I will answer, no. I never will tell you what to do, because programming is your problem. Have nothing to do with me. But, when I was elected, and it's an election, it's not something, it's a public election. I'm called to these fiduciary responsibilities. And when I go to my people and I tell my people, for example, that we, during a while, we raised this amount of money, and we are being told 5 days away that we have this amount of money, and we get money from somebody else, and suddenly the answer is, no, but we don't have that money anymore. Why? Well, because it was used for something else. My question is, as you grab a microphone and you talk to the people, my obligation, like LSB board member, is tell my constituency, the members, even you, all of you. I mean, what is going on with the money?
Accountability.
That is my responsibility.
Whose money is it?
It's our
Everybody,
money, the people's
it's
money,
my,
the members' money.
It's foundation's money.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So it's not KPFT's money, it's the foundation's money.
Yeah,
$100,000
is.
$100,000
coming from. Well, let's be clear now. This is KPFT's money.
Yeah.
This is KPFA's money. This was KPFT's money that was supposed to be directed and dedicated to the transmitter, but was justifiably or unjustifiably, because I've been a manager before, and if I got X number of dollars sitting in one account and I need to pay payroll, I need to pay whatever, I'm taking and borrowing that money and putting it over here. And that's exactly what happened with the $53,000.
Okay, that's a whole other issue, though. Right?
So, exactly.
I think it's important to point out that it went to pay bills necessary to keep the station on the air.
My point point.
But Robert, I think
I
made that clear.
I'm
going to do it if it's necessary to pay,
whether
it's payroll, whether it's insurance, which I think he said.
He actually said that someone was taking out to pay the national insurance, right? And I don't know if that's happened again or if that was one we knew about.
And he told us that 2 or 3 months ago, so he disclosed that, but he just complicated things by mixing the new money with the old.
The issue is, why did he tell the Chronicle and us that the money was coming in? We're not smart enough to know that those aren't part of our members. I'm not smart enough to know what's going on.
The local media did tell
me this.
But you tell me,
I try to explain to the board members all the time. I only have one team that I work with. That's my team. But I don't get that kind of feedback from anybody else besides the program. I don't feel any kind of solidarity with anybody else at the program except the program.
Because we come in, we do something.
I would have kept it to myself. It looked like hell to get the money quickly and order that transfer. That's not transparent.
Oh, sure.
But that isn't transparent.
Because you don't want to expose it to the deal.
It's
just a free fact.
People are meeting here at a board meeting. Y'all are going to have to get what we're doing here. We're not doing bylaws. We're doing radio. And some of us do nothing else but radio. So
I'm just telling you.
There is no power to take the FTE. I know exactly what you're doing, too. Because you won't do anything productive about money, about consciousness raising, about effort, about politics, anything else for, as long as in fact is the rule of social interaction after considered over there, you won't do anything.
Well, I'm not going to get back.
All right, yeah, but I'm supposed to be an exception.
No, don't
Pacific, no, Pacific is supposed to be an exception.
Yes, but we have the same people.
You see, sorry about this.
Somebody calls almost every day, even if I'm showing, when I'm talking, I'm showing. Yeah, and you have to show us. This is the bank statements. I know we have to trust our mind and not Sandy.
I say if we make a goal and raise the money, let's spend all the money else anyway.
You have your own agenda. We didn't make quorum.
I don't know how much personal responsibility is it to raise a whole bunch of money and you know something to have no fiduciary.
My intention, we talk about issues.
Do you want us to be that trusting? No.
We're still waiting for someone to have a list of people who's going to answer the question. Still waiting.
Which question?
You are.
Why it's suddenly diminished.
You have to leave each other on a
conversation.
That was the question.
And what's your answer? Is the board meeting?
I'll say that. Oh, we had feet twice.
But we didn't have a board.
We didn't have quorum.
Nobody ever.
I know that. But you just had a meeting. Whether or not you want to call it a meeting or not. You just had a meeting.
Yes.
Okay? And that was